All right, so real quickly, let's talk about our Something to Learn from our Overcomer series, and today is the last day. So as we talk about this, this is Peter's second letter in the New Testament, and it's written as he draws near the end of his life. In 2 Peter 1:14, he writes, "I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me." In other words, it's not long until I move from this world into a new world where the Lord has, you know, just kind of in one way or another, we don't understand exactly how, but the Lord has made clear that he doesn't have too long. He did the same thing, by the way, with the Apostle Paul. But then what Peter almost assuredly believed would be his last letter to the believers he was writing to, he encouraged them to persevere and to develop and display godly grit. Chuck Swindoll said in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that Peter focuses on the importance of believers bearing up under unjust suffering and yet continuing to live well. And this pyramid that we have been talking about and showing over and over and over again, as we add one piece to another and go forward up and down those things, as we add to them, we know that the Lord is at work within us. Now, I want to take just a moment and I want to put up a picture of what I would call a crossroads. How many of you guys are fully aware and you've even used that terminology? I'm standing at a crossroads. Have you all ever said that or been, you know, in that place for yourselves? So as we look at this picture, we can grasp it, we can see it. And this one particularly is kind of like down the dark path versus up the light path. And we get an idea of this. But here is what I want to share with you. I believe with all of my heart that we don't just have one crossroads moment, you know, every couple or 3 years. I would even go so far as to say we have multiple crossroads moments in our lives, even sometimes as often as daily. Now, hear me out. Here's what I want to ask you. Have you ever, okay, yesterday was a day that I just couldn't do what I planned on doing. Too much rain, too much cold, all the things. And can any of y'all kind of identify with that? Okay, so there was a moment in that day where I decided, am I going to do this or am I going to do that? It's kind of a crossroads moment. Can any of you guys agree with me on that? Maybe even experienced it yesterday. So that's not a huge crossroads moment in my life, but it is a little bit for that day. And so I want to just share with you over and over and over again, the idea of being an overcomer is when you face these kinds of decisions, you choose the right. You choose the light rather than the dark. You choose the better choice instead of the bitterest choice, if that makes sense. So for you and for me, even when it comes to dealing with our kids, there's a crossroads moment, right? When they frustrate you and it's been coming for a while and you're finally like, man, we finally got to have this out. And when you get to that point, what do? You face a crossroads. Can I get an amen, right? Okay, so when that happens, you can become better, you can become bitter, however you want to label these things as you face those, if you consistently make the right choice. And then a little further down the road, you again make the right choice. And then a little further down the road, you make the right choice. And then maybe you do make the wrong choice, but instead of compounding that and making the wrong, followed by another, followed by another, followed by another, you instead shift and you say, I might have made the wrong choice, but I'm going to get back on track and I'm going to make the better choice today and in this moment. For many of us, I'm going to withdraw that. For Pastor Randy, what happens sometimes is you make a bad choice, and I tend to chase it with another one, and then follow that one up by another one, instead of making a better choice when I have an opportunity to make it better. And so here is what is amazing. Here is the compound interest that God's goodness and his path give to you. If you can get to the place where you consistently make good choice, followed by good choice, followed by good choice, followed by good choice, even though they are very, very small, your life begins to have a different kind of momentum than if you go down the wrong path consistently, or even if you go down the wrong path, then the good, then the wrong, then the good, then the good, then the wrong. I almost feel like I'm dancing up here. Are y'all okay? You understand, right? Right path. Choosing each and every time you can to make the better choices. Let's keep moving here. As we go forward, let's talk about how his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I want to just mention to you, do you notice that I highlighted that in verse 3? And as we talk about that in verse 3 and 4, we eventually come to this pyramid here. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, knowledge. And in that pyramid that we have consistently shown you over and over throughout this lesson series. But notice that passage. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. To life and what? Godliness. In other words, if you want to live a godly life, God has given you everything that it takes to live it. It's in your hands. It is up to you. It is your choice and your decision. For many of us, we choose that wrong path over and over, and then we're frustrated that God didn't save us from that wrong choice over and over and over again that we keep making. Now, again, I'm going to put the blame on me, but you understand what I'm saying. Relationships have momentum. Finances have momentum. Things that are going on at work, you have momentum, and you can build it or you can lose it over and over and over again with choices that you make each and every day. If y'all are with me, give me an amen. Okay, all right, you know, y'all are catching on. Y'all are like, if we get a good amen, he doesn't slow down. All right, so we keep going. Here is what Pastor Tony Evans said, and I'm going to read pretty extensively from his commentary. He said these words. He said, spiritual growth can be a reality for every believer because God already has given us everything required for life and godliness. He's talking about this passage. The spiritual blessings we need are already available to us, but it is up to us to access them. It is up to us to access them because these comprehensive blessings are appropriated through the knowledge of God. In other words, the more we know of God, the more he moves in our lives. That is through the specific knowledge of God's will for and blessings to believers. This knowledge is the difference between merely meeting the President of the United States and having a personal relationship with him. He goes on, he says, a key to spiritual growth is sharing in the divine nature, which penetrates and lives within every believer, beginning at the moment of salvation through the Holy Spirit. Christians, in a manner of speaking, have God's nature woven into their DNA. And this nature includes a spiritual appetite that we need to feed and godly behavior that we need to cultivate. Yet the divine nature is implanted in seed form and doesn't immediately translate into mature godly living. In other words, God has given you a seed. If you have given your heart to the Lord, then he has planted a seed within you that can grow or it can not grow and eventually die. It's a question of what we will water and what we will cultivate and what we will stay connected to the roots. As we go on, as he talks about verses 5 and 7 here, says, when the seed is tended and grows, the life of the Spirit expands in a believer's soul, is the expansion and is manifested through righteous living. And then it says, for the divine nature to express itself in the believer's life, the believer must make every effort to supplement his or her faith with the 7 qualities that we've heard about over and over again, that pyramid. And then he says this, listen, the new nature has already been programmed to respond to the right input, like a baby has been programmed to respond to its mother's milk. The nutrients in the milk enable the baby's growth and development. And the Bible and God's Spirit is the same for you as a Christian. So if you are not growing, that is because you are not accessing what God has given you to access. Now, if you look back on your life, there may be ups and downs. But there should be a steady growth in your spiritual life. And if there is not, then I want to challenge you to today go back to that pyramid that we have been speaking about, becoming overcomers and developing godly grit. Over and over, we've been talking about this. And as we do, let's remember that these qualities are important to us and they will help us dramatically. So real quickly, let's go to our overcomers pyramid on slide number 11, if you don't mind. Our faith is our starting point, but then we add excellence and knowledge, adding self-control, steadfastness, godliness. And then last week, as Eric spoke about brotherly love and love, which is the crowning virtue, if your life is not producing these things, and these are not qualities that anybody would ever describe you with, then there is a question on whether or not you are developing spiritually in the right way. And so I just share that with you, not because I know where you are, but because I have to share with you, this is how God says our life begins to change and we develop into the people that you would have, that he would have us to be. All right, so very quickly, let's go to our big idea, and this is what I want to share with you, that we should become a person of godly grit and live daily on purpose, no matter what. Here's what I mean. As we become a person of godly grit, we must live daily according to what God has given us to live as a purpose. And that is not something that changes even if our circumstances change or even if difficulties come or arise or even if, hold on. Most of us think difficulties are our biggest challenge and our biggest source that will keep us from following God. But the truth of the matter is, it's not difficulties or challenges. It's being just every single day the person who constantly shows up and lives according to God's word. That is harder for most of us than going through challenges. So no matter what, whether it's being just a part of the everyday drudgery of life and yet growing, or if it's facing hard and difficult challenges, just live on purpose with godly grit and do it all the time, all the way to the very end of your life, no matter what. So can you guys say the big idea with me on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Become a person of godly grit. Live daily on purpose, no matter what. Amen. All right, let's go to our next slide. This is a lady named Angela Duckworth who wrote the book Grit. It's the power of passion and perseverance. And if you don't know, one of the things that she said about in learning about her book and had a thesis that she kind of went back and proved and found is she was looking at kids that were incredibly talented but yet never truly got to where they should have gotten in life according to their level of talent. And then she looked at other kids that were excelling but did not have all of those things that would have earmarked them for success. And she realized that what we were doing in our lives is we were thinking, well, the talented kids will get ahead and the kids that aren't quite as talented will kind of be in the middle, and then the kids that aren't talented at all are going to be at the very bottom. But we all know that there are exceptions to that rule. Maybe some of you are an exception to that rule. And so here we find, she said, there's something that's missing. There's something that's not getting calculated into the whole, you know, formula. And she found that there was something that she termed grit. Just the refusal to quit, the stick-to-itiveness that never lets up and never lets go and keeps moving forward. And she said there's something about grit. And the kids who succeed are not necessarily the most talented, but they are the grittiest. They are the one. And I don't know, okay, is this a compliment if I said, man, girl, you're gritty? I mean, I don't know, is that a compliment? I'm not sure that is. I'm sure my wife would be like, is that good or is that bad? Well, in this case, it's supposed to be a compliment, all right? Hey, speaking of my wife has something that I'm going to share with you. She is the librarian at James Bowie Middle School around the corner, and this is her, an image that she created and kind of created with AI, I believe, right? But here it is. She calls her library The Den. I'm so proud of my wife. She's an amazing librarian. She does some amazing things with these kids. She does all kinds of things. Like one of the things that you would never believe. Do any of you guys remember the weaving looms that you had when y'all were kids? I mean, I'm talking about, like, I'm 54. 54. And I remember these little red looms that you would stick. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? Those are so analog, like the most analog thing in the world. Here's what's incredible. My wife has what she calls maker spaces. And so she asks the kids, would you like to come and learn how to code, which is a very technological thing, right? And so some kids come into her library to learn how to write code, which is a big deal. It's a big deal. But she also, I think maybe Alicia does this at her library as well, but she has these little looms that some of the kids come in there not to learn how to write code, but how to knit caps for themselves on these looms from back in the 1970s. Can you believe that? And so they are literally making like sweater caps for themselves, and they think it's the coolest thing that they've ever done. And I'm like, man, you know, y'all probably would play with a cardboard box just like I used to when I was a kid, right? But they love that stuff. So her whole thing is, she says, she has a sign up and it says, do you dabble? Do you dabble? Y'all know what I mean by dabble? Like, I dabble in this and I dabble in that and I dabble in this. She wants the kids to be able to figure out what they love and what they are good at and what they enjoy, what lights their fire. And that is what we as Christians should be doing. We should go and serve people. We should go and do certain things for people. We should do things behind the scenes for people. We should go and serve when nobody's around. And we dabble and we figure out there are things that bring us joy. And then when we find it, we go hard and perfect and get better at that purpose. That is what we are called to do. We dabble enough to find something, and then we find our niche, and then we go hard after that goal. Now, here's the problem for most of us. We dabble, and we dabble, and we dabble, and we dabble, and then we go back to the front, and then we dabble, and then we dabble, and then we dabble, and then we dabble, and we know there's actually something, but we're not sure that's what we want to do for good. And so we just keep dabbling all of our lives, and we never actually make a big impact. You guys understand what I'm saying? See, okay, I didn't plan to say this, but Patrizia, I'm glad you don't dabble. I'm glad this is what you do. You are a blessing each and every week that you sing. Like, she found what God has enabled her to do, gifted her to do, and everybody is blessed by it. Can you imagine if Patrizia was like, I'm gonna just keep dabbling. I'm like, no, you're gonna keep singing, right? That's what you're gonna do. No, it's not that. She's like, no, God has enabled me. God has gifted me, and that's what I'm gonna do. She's not dabbling infinite times. She's found her purpose. She's involved. And I'm not saying it's only purpose, but you understand what I'm saying. I think for many of us, we probably already know what we're gifted at, what fires our soul, but we don't do it. And then we wonder why we're left cold when it comes to doing and living the things of God. And when I talk about purpose, it sounds good, but you're not living it because you're not daily choosing to do something that brings alive that thing that God has made for you to do, where you will feel more alive than any other time. Just get in and get good at it and get great at it and then get amazing at it and see how powerfully God can use you. Are you guys with me? Can I get an amen? Amen? All right, so let's go backwards if you don't mind. We're going to go one slide back to this Angela Duckworth quote here. She says, enthusiasm is common. Endurance is what? Rare. Our potential is one thing, but what we do with it is quite another. I have three quotes because I'm talking about how we develop godly grit. And you may or may not realize this, but let's understand life. And I don't know where you are. I'm talking to some of you who are very young in your life. I'm talking to some of you who are in the middle. I'm talking to some of you who are older. But let's talk about understanding life. If you really want to break it down into three sections, you can do it in this way. Some have said that life is easily understood in three sections. The first third is when you are learning. The second third is when you are doing. And then the third is when you are empowering. Doesn't that make sense? If you think about it, the first third of your life, you are giving it over to learning how to do something. And then the next third is getting out there and actually doing it and establishing yourself. But then here is where God's economy kicks in, that the greatest among you will be the servant of all, that those who would be first will be last, and the last will be first. And so his economy kicks in, and those who have made an amazing amount of money and reached heights that we could mostly only dream of realize that there is something more than making a huge bank account, and instead they want to turn around and make a difference. Think about those people like Bill Gates, who are literally giving away billions, and I said billions with a B, giving away billions of dollars because they don't want to just simply funnel it all to their next big yacht or their next big home or any of that stuff. They're instead trying to turn around and give it back because they're trying to say, I've learned, I've done, but now I want to make a difference. I want to empower other people. And I don't know where you are on this scale, but here's what I would share with you. I found this to be true for most people in their life. You hit a certain age and you go, you know what? I'm not gonna be around forever. I wanna leave a legacy that's more than just dollars and cents in a bank account. I wanna leave a legacy. And let's go back to what Peter is doing in this passage of scripture. What is he doing? He says, the Lord has already revealed to me I'm not gonna be around much longer. So here's what I want to share with you. If this is the last letter you get from me, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure that you're not just satisfied with living a ho-hum life that is halfway and middling. Instead, I want you to be a person who has faith. But then I want you to add to that faith, and I want you to add virtue and then godliness and goodness and steadfastness and love and perseverance, you know, and all of these things. And I want you to not just add them like they're checked off on your list and you got them on your tool belt, but that you are constantly growing and constantly becoming something undeniably of God. And let that make a difference and leave the legacy for those who are watching. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if this would have fired me up the same way when I was 30 years old and in the middle of my doing. But at age 54, like I said earlier, the truth is that this fires me up more than ever. I want to, y'all know I got a grandson. I want to leave something for him. I want him to remember me in a certain way. And maybe it's different than it was a few years ago, but I know this. I have things that are shifting in my priorities that are very different today, and I want to leave a legacy that makes a difference in people's lives. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. I don't know. Maybe I can get an amen from one of y'all out there. Amen. All right. Yeah, all right. All right. Now you got me rolling. Here we go. Let's talk about that legacy of the pyramid. And as we do here, he goes on and he says these things, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to recall at any time these things that I'm talking about. In other words, I want my life to show exactly what I'm telling you to do. I want it to be so clear in your mind. I don't want to have to struggle to figure out, is that really how he lived? No. I remember. I remember so many examples of how my dad lived his life. I remember so many examples of how my mom lived her life. My grandmother, my grandfather, my uncle, my aunt, and on and on and on down the line. That is how it's supposed to be. And here I have to ask you a question. What's the legacy that you're leaving? Is it one where people have to scratch and claw and try to find some sort of evidence, or is it just laying around in heaps and piles and over again? They see that God was a part of your life and that he meant something to you and that it made a difference in others' lives because of the difference he had made in your own life first. That's how it ought to be. That's how it ought to be. All right, so let's jump forward to, you know what, let's go to number 18, if you don't mind. I think that's where we are anyway. This is so powerful. Angela Duckworth spoke about how she was figuring out the grit thing. She said, it soon became clear that doing one thing better and better might be more satisfying than staying an amateur at many different things. Passion for your work is a little bit of discovery, followed by a lot of development, then a lifetime of deepening. Here's what she's saying. There's a novelty that kicks the dopamine in your brain. It's literally almost like a quick hit, like a drug or like a sugar high in your brain. It's hormonal. Learn something new. Oh, this is neat. Learn something new. Bing. Learn something new. Dopamine. Learn something new. Ping. It hits you. But you and I are surrounded by people who know a little bit of stuff about so many things that you don't really care to hear from them. But then you have some people who have dedicated themselves and drilled down and gotten so clear on their purpose and so enamored with their purpose that they're not out seeking the little sugar high. They are instead growing deep and strong like an oak tree and developing their Christian character in such a way that you're just like, there's depth, there's passion, there's importance. It's not just a little bit of dabbling. It's somebody making a deep impact after deep impact after deep impact. And it's different. It hits different, as the kids say, right? And so this is what she's saying. It will actually feel better in the moment to learn a little bit, but it will make a deeper and more satisfying impact on you and on others if you find your purpose and keep going, keep drilling down, and keep after what God has made you to become. All right, now, let me just share this with you. We're gonna hit it quick because we're not running short of time. I'm running short of time. Let's go quickly here. Okay, developing godly grit on slide number 19. Let's do that one. How do we develop godly grit? First of all, it is not a checklist. It is a process. It is not a checklist that you check off. It is a process. And if you are there to do the checklist, you will never really become what you want to become. Now, number 21, slide number 21, if you don't mind, how do we develop godly grit? It's not a strategy, it's a mindset. And what that means is that day after day after day, you are giving yourself, and I do have to share this quote with you from Angela Duckworth. This is the last one that she has. One form of perseverance is the daily discipline of trying to do things better than we did yesterday. The most dazzling human achievements are, in fact, the aggregate or the culmination of countless individual elements, each of which is, in a sense, ordinary. The main thing is that your greatness is doable. Greatness is many, many individual feats, and every one of them, each and every one of them on their own, is doable. In other words, I'm talking to a bunch of people who, as Peter said, have all things which pertain to life and to godliness and to becoming the people that God wants you to be and making the impact and leaving the legacy that God wants you to leave if you will pursue it and do what he would have you to do day after day, after week, after month, after year, after decade. And it's doable. Let's keep moving. Let's go to developing godly grit on 23 and 24. It's not a strategy, it's relationships. Here's what I want to share with you. If you are not connected to others that are in the Christian life and pursuing God's greatness and goodness, then you are not going to continue. That's what the word, that's the what the numbers say. Now, you might want to say, no, it's okay, it's all right. I don't have to have these people. I don't need to be close to folks. I can do it on my own. Most of the time, lone rangers go out like lone embers from a fire. They just lose their fire, and they're no longer consumed with what God would have them to be consumed with. It's not a strategy, it's a mindset, but it's not a strategy, it's the relationships that will keep you moving. And then fourthly, it's not a strategy, it's relationship. The main relationship is the one who has given you everything that you need where it pertains to life and to godliness. God is desiring for you to become this person, not to just simply flounder, dabbling all the way across, even though you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. It's not constantly seeking the newest thing. It's developing and saying, this is what makes me a person who gets excited about serving God and others, and I'm going to keep doing it and get better. And over, I'm going to keep moving in that direction. All right, so here's some big questions and how you apply this message. Let's talk about them very quickly. Is it clear that you're a person who believes in everyday improvement mindset? Are you a person who seems to be getting better each and every day? Or instead, are you a person who just seems to be up and down, more dependent on the happenings of the world rather than the things that you are trying to inflict on the world? How clearly is it that you are living on purpose and not just doing it every now and then, but doing it daily? Because it should be very clear. And is there more to you than meets the eye, or is there actually less? We talk about being like an iceberg. There only 10% is on the surface, and yet there's strength and just power that is hidden, and yet it is there. It is God constantly strengthening you in the inner man, as Ephesians chapter 3 says. So here's how you apply this message. And I'm going to go ahead and ask Elias to come forward. He's going to play, and we're going to do something just a little different at the end in just a few moments. We're not going to sing a song. We're not going to watch a video. But I do want you to make a move towards God. Maybe over this Overcomer series, you know that God has been speaking to you about something, about developing a character that has not yet been developed in your life. And in a minute, I'm going to ask if you'd like to make that commitment and pray about that here at the front of the altar, or pardon me, at the front of the church. That just lays your life on the altar before the Lord. If that is true of you, I want you to come. We're going to do that in just a minute, and I'm going to pray over all of us in just a moment. But here's how we apply this message. What do I need to stop doing that's weighing me down? What do I need to quit thinking? What do I need to quit doing? Who are the people that are going to help me thrive? And how close am I with them? And how much am I taking their example and living like it, or taking their advice and keeping after that? And is there one single action that I know that I could take that would put me in a better place with my legacy and with my Lord? If that's true, don't let today pass until you've done that one thing. And then what is your how? How can you grow in godliness? How can you grow in knowledge? And how can you grow in being a person who takes action, not just talks about action? Okay. So I grew up in church. My father is a pastor, and he has always pastored churches that were kind of old school in their music. You would never know that considering the music that we sing. But he had old hymns constantly. And you guys might be shocked to know that even if the old hymns are on no screen, no book, no anything, I know most of the words because I learned them when I could remember stuff. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Back when I was a kid and I remembered stuff, like my wife's, you know, phone number. And now I can't tell you what my kid's phone number is, but that's a whole nother digression. I remember these words. And it's so funny because I don't usually sing those old hymns. But when I was prepping for this message to share with you guys, out of nowhere, the words to a hymn called Higher Ground came to me. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. How many of you guys know this old song? A few of y'all. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts are at me hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. And I want to scale the utmost heights, may say eagle heights actually, I want to scale the utmost heights, catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I have found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to not be satisfied to just simply live day to day, but instead, Lord, that we would truly say, I want to be a person who lives in a higher mindset than just the everyday day of this world, and then another day, and then another day. I want to make a difference. I want to make a legacy that is clear to all. And Lord, I pray that if there are those here today who are praying that prayer and have been thinking about these things over the last 6 or 7 weeks as we've been talking about it, and they want to make a commitment, please help them to realize that you have given them all that pertains to life and godliness, and that you would call them to higher ground. So if you would just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, very quickly, I'm gonna ask, if you are a person who wants to come forward for just a moment and just say, I'm moving physically because I feel like God has been moving in me spiritually, and I want to move towards higher ground. I want to move towards a better place where I'm closer to the Lord. I'm asking for you to just come for just a brief moment of prayer. Would you come for just a moment? Is there one here? God bless you. Thank you so much. Keep coming. If you're here and you know that the Lord is calling you to higher ground and you want to make that move, God bless you. Time, if you'd like to come. I'm not going to waste too much time, but I don't want you to be left out if you'd like to participate. Anyone here? Your power, and it is your will, it is your goodness, and it is your Holy Spirit that changes us. May we be moved as your Spirit moves. May we be faithful and obedient to move as you nudge us, as you speak to us, as you allow us to hear your voice and see your leading. May we be faithful to move in response to you. And Lord, may we commit ourselves to being people who are making the right choice over and over and over again as we pursue you. And Lord, even when we fall, may we never feel that we are a lost cause or a hopeless case, but instead may we know that one more decision that we have to make, one more crossroads each day, that we choose the right and chase after you. You are changing us and reshaping us and rewriting our story where it will be a blessing to others and a blessing in our own life. You have given us everything that pertains to godliness and to life. May we truly live a life that brings glory and honor to you and makes a difference in the sphere of influence that you have given us. We love you, Lord. We know that this is not something we can do without you, but we call on you for your help. Bring it about in our lives. Make it real and make it visible, not only to us, but to the world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said together, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. Those who joined, thank you so much. God bless you. And those who are thinking about it, next time, come on down. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. It's always a blessing and a privilege. And I got to admit, man, when I'm gone 1 week, I always go like 7 minutes over when I wanted to. So I'm sorry. I'm just excited to be back. I love you guys. I missed y'all. Shelly and I had a great time getting away, but it is always, man, this is home. You are my family, and I love you guys. May God bless you as you pursue the Lord in all that you do. Thank you for giving me your time and for your attention today, and may you be blessed as you draw closer to God, and may he change you from the inside out. And today, we're going to end the way we always do, and please, you guys, jump in and say it right along with me. We've just heard God's word. Now, let's go live it. God bless you guys. Love y'all. Y'all take care. You're dismissed.